我到网上面一查，他说我这个问题叫做blue screen of death。
So last night my laptop started having trouble, so I went online to see what was going on, and it's the blue screen of death.
这非常严重哈。
Very serious.
所以当我有困难的时候，赶快去找我们曹永欢弟兄求救哈。对。
So when I have trouble, I look to our 曹永弟兄曹永 brother.
曹永欢。
曹永欢。
哎呀 ，right.
曹永欢。
感谢主，我们今天的信息呢是耶和华高立大卫。
Praise God, our message today is Yahweh's anointing of David.
如果主允许的话，我们会讲一系列大卫的这个故事。
Lord willing, we will have an entire series on the stories about David.
那么这是第一讲。
And this is the first one.
那么我们今天的经文呢，是我来读，你们来听，从撒母耳记上来的。那么耶和华
So our scripture for today I will read and you guys can listen, and it's from 1 Samuel.
耶和华对撒母耳说，我厌弃扫罗做以色列的王，为他悲伤到几时呢？你将膏油盛满了脚，我差遣你往伯利恒人耶西那里去，因为我在他众子之内预定一个做王的。撒母耳说，我怎能去呢？扫罗若听见必要杀我。耶和华说，你可以带一只牛犊去，就说我来是要向耶和华献祭，你要请耶西来吃鸡肉，我就指示你当行的事。我所指给你的人你要膏他。耶和华就照撒母耳就照耶和华的话去行，到了伯利恒，那城里的长老都战战兢兢地出来迎接他，问他说，你是为平安来的吗？他说，为平安来的，我是给耶和华献祭，你们当自洁来与我同吃祭肉。撒母耳就使耶西和他的众子自洁，请他们来吃祭肉。他们来的时候，撒母耳看见以利亚，就心里说，耶和华的受膏者必定在他面前。耶和华却对撒母耳说，不要看他的外貌和他的身材高大，我不拣选他，因为耶和华不像人看人，人是看外貌，耶和华是看内心。耶西叫亚比纳达从撒母耳面前经过，撒母耳说，耶和华也不拣选他。耶西又叫撒玛从撒母耳面前经过，撒母耳说，耶和华也不拣选他。耶西叫他的七个儿子都从撒母耳面前经过，撒母耳说，这都不是耶和华所拣选的。撒母耳对耶西说，你的儿子都在这里吗？他回答说，还有一个小的，现在放羊。撒母耳对耶西说，你打发人去叫他来，他若不来，我们必不作席。耶西就打发人去叫了他来，他面色光红，双目清秀，容貌俊美。耶和华说，这就是他，你起来膏他。撒母耳就用脚里的膏油在他诸胸中膏了他。从那日起，耶和华的灵就大大的感动大卫。耶和华撒母耳就起身回拉玛去了。
1 Samuel chapter 16. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you, and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. And invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me him who I declare to you. Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling, and said, do you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Aminadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. Then Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? And he said, There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, Send and get him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah.
好，我们今天的讲道呢，要照这几个大纲来说。
So our sermon today will follow these main points.
首先我们要看看神为什么厌弃扫罗。
So first we will see why God rejected Saul.
然后我们要看耶西是谁。
Then we'll see who Jesse was.
然后我们就看到神怎么样子命令撒母耳来高立大卫。
Then we'll see how God went about telling Samuel to anoint David.
最后我们看到一件非常重要的事情，就是耶和华的灵大大的感动大卫。
And in the end, we'll see something very important, which is how the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon and greatly moved David.
那么耶和华对撒母耳说，我既厌弃扫罗做以色列的王，你为他悲伤到几时呢？
Then the Lord said to Samuel, How long will you grieve over Saul since I have rejected him from being king over Israel?
所以我们看见一件事情。
So here we can see one thing.
上帝已经厌弃当时的王叫做扫罗。
God had already rejected or repudiated then king known as Saul.
等一下会看为什么。
In a moment we will see why.
但是这句话是对撒母耳说的。
But this word was spoken to Samuel.
撒母耳那个时候呢还希望上帝能够回心转意。
At this time Samuel was still hoping that God would change his mind.
还继续让扫罗当王。
And allow Saul to continue being king.
所以这个耶和华就跟撒母耳讲，他已经决定要厌弃扫罗了。
So Yahweh says to Samuel, I've already chosen to reject him from being king.
所以不要再为他悲伤了。
So don't continue to mourn over him.
当时撒母耳是以色列的士师。
At the time, Samuel was the judge over Israel.
那么扫罗呢，他自己能够成为王，也是因为撒母耳去高立他的。
And Saul, he was able to become king because Samuel had anointed him.
所以既然是撒母耳亲自高的这一个扫罗做王。
So Saul was in fact the king that Samuel had personally anointed.
所以我想撒母耳对他所高立的这个王有一点感情。
So I think Samuel probably had some amount of feeling for the king he himself had.
所以他知道，虽然知道这个扫罗已经做了很多的事情，背弃了耶和华。
So although he knew that Saul had done many things which were in opposition to Yahweh.
但他在感情上面仍然在保护着这个扫罗。
But in his heart, he was still hoping to protect Saul.
好，我们就要看这个撒母耳记上的十五章，就讲到为什么这个耶和华被厌弃了扫罗。
So let's look at 1 Samuel 15, where we find out why God rejected Saul from being king.
在撒母耳记上十五章二到三节这样说。
1 Samuel 15, verses 2 to 3 says,
万军之耶和华如此说：以色列人出埃及的时候，在路上亚玛利人怎样待他们，怎样抵挡他们，我都没忘。现在你要去击打亚玛利人，灭尽他们所有的，并不可怜惜他们，将男女孩童吃奶的，并牛羊骆驼和驴进行杀死。
Thus says the Lord of hosts, I have noted what Amalek did to Israel in opposing them on the way when they came up out of Egypt.Now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey.
这个地方讲到亚玛利人。
Here it mentions the Amalekites.
这个亚玛利人一向是以色列人的仇敌。
The Amalekites from the very beginning had been the enemies of Israel.
当这个以色列人在旷野漂流的时候，就遇到亚玛利人。
When the Israelites were wandering in the desert, they ran into the Amalekites.
亚玛利人就攻击以色列人。
The Amalekites then attacked and fought against the Israelites.
那么给以色列人很多很多的这个麻烦。
And they caused a lot of trouble for the Israelites.
所以这件事情是惹怒了上帝。
And so this led to this incited the wrath of God.
因为亚玛利人明明知道这是上帝的选民，但是他仍然要去抵抗上帝。
Because the Amalekites knew that these were the chosen of God, and they chose to oppose them anyway.
所以说上帝这里说我都没忘。
And so here Jesus says, I have not forgotten.
我读到这段经文的时候我就警惕我自己。
When I heard this, it made me reflect on myself.
我说我也曾经做过像亚玛利人一样的事情。
I thought I myself have done things similar to what Amalekites did.
明明知道这是上帝不喜悦的事，我还去做。
When I knew something was not what God wanted, and I did it anyway.
虽然我现在不做了。
Even though now I do not do it.
我希望上帝忘了。
I hope God can forget it.
只要上帝没有忘，我就完了。
Because if God has not forgotten, then I'm in trouble.
但是我转眼一想。
But as soon as I thought about it.
我们的耶稣基督在十字架上面替我们付了所有的代价。
When Jesus Christ went on the cross, he took all of the punishment for our sin.
我们带着耶稣的血。
With Jesus' blood.
上帝就一定忘掉。
Then God can certainly forget what we have done.
因为这是上帝的应许。
Because this is God's promise to us.
所以我们今天能够还活在这里，不像亚玛利人当初在被赶尽杀绝。
So the fact that we are alive today and not dead like the Amalekites then.
完全是耶稣给我们的保留的宝血的功能。
Is entirely the work of the blood that Jesus shed for us.
有人会说，怎么上帝这么残忍？
How could it be that some will say, how could it be that God was so bloodthirsty?
把亚玛利人杀了就算了。
Why? I mean, if you just kill the Amalekites, isn't that good enough?
怎么会还要把他们的孩童吃奶的，还有牛羊、骆驼、驴都杀掉
？How come you also want to kill the children and the infants and the ox and the sheep and the donkeys?
我就想起旧约圣经里面这么严厉的审判，这个不是第一次。
But when I think about it, I notice that that's not the first time in the Old Testament we have such a strict punishment.
当约书亚打进迦南的时候
，When Joshua was coming into Canaan,
耶律哥城的人也是抵抗。
The people of the city of Jericho were also resisting.
上帝的命令也是一样，这把这个耶律哥的城击破的时候，耶律哥的城所有的男女老幼以及牛羊全部杀掉。
God's commandment was the same: the young and old and all the livestock all had to be killed.
我看到解经家这样子说。
I've seen commentaries say the following:
说这个城市是充满了罪恶的。
Saying that the city was full of evil.
他说你那些牛羊都是已经不洁净的。
And saying that even the ox and the donkeys were no longer clean.
原因是因为耶律哥人那个时候盛行跟兽，就是这些牛羊，做不干净的事情。
And that is because at the time, perhaps the people of Jericho would commit bestiality with the animals.
所以全部杀掉。
So kill them all.
那么是不是亚玛利人做了同样的事情？解经家没有说。
Now did the Amalekites do similar things? We don't know.
所以我相信上帝有这么样子的赶尽杀绝，他一定有他的理由的。
But I'm sure that if God gave this kind of commandment, he had a reason for it.
所以我们不需要为上帝担忧。
So we don't need to worry for God's sake.
好了，那么这个命令是 交给扫罗的。
So this commandment was given to the king Saul.
诶，果然扫罗就带着兵去打亚玛利人。
And so Saul gathered up his armies and went to fight the Amalekites.
而且靠着上帝的恩典，他打赢了。
And by the grace of God, he was successful and he won.
不但打赢了，而且还把亚玛利的王叫做亚甲给俘虏了。
Not only did he win, he was even able to kidnap the king Amalek.
圣经上面没有说为什么扫罗喜欢亚甲。
The Bible does not say why Saul liked Agag.
但是呢，虽然把其他的亚玛利人杀了，但是亚甲却留下他的性命。
But although Saul killed the other Amalekites, he left Agag alive.
另外呢，扫罗也还爱惜那上好的牛羊、牛肚、羊羔，并一切美物不肯灭绝，但是下贱瘦弱的尽都杀了。
And Saul also really liked the best of the livestock, but all of the lousy livestock, those he killed.
所以扫罗是有条件的去把他灭绝的。
So Saul partially or with conditions obeyed the will of the Lord.
你看到扫罗没有认真彻底的执行上帝的命令。
So Saul did not diligently completely satisfy the commands of the Lord.
上帝当然看在眼里。
And of course, God saw this.
然后撒上十五节第十九节十五章第十九节这样说，耶和华差遣你吩咐你说，你去击打那些犯罪的亚玛利人，将他们灭绝尽尽，你为何没有听耶和华的命令，急忙的掠夺财物，从行耶和华眼中看为恶的事呢？
And in verses 18 to 19, and the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go, devote to destruction the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed.Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord?
So we see that 他看到的最好的东西是亚玛力人所留下的那些上好的财物。
And so we see here that what Saul found as most valuable during this mission was the best of what the Amalekites had to leave.
在他的心中最重要的事情不是上帝的命令。
In his heart, the most important thing was not the command of the Lord.
是他眼前看到的这些上好的财物。
It was what he saw in front of him that was the best of their spoil.
而且这里我们看见上帝要灭绝亚玛力人的原因是因为亚玛力人犯罪。
And here we see that God wanted to destroy the Amalekites was because of their sin.
好，那么这个时候呢，这个撒母耳说，耶和华喜悦燔祭和平安祭，岂如喜悦人听他的话呢？听命胜于献祭，顺从胜于公羊的自由。
And so at this point, Samuel says, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams.
这句话是撒母耳对扫罗说的。
So this is what Samuel says to Saul.
因为撒母耳已经跟扫罗讲，说你怎么不彻底的执行上帝的命令呢？
Because Samuel has already said to Saul, "How come you have not thoroughly obeyed the voice of the Lord?"
然后撒母耳这个扫罗就说啊，我把这些牛羊留下来是要献祭的。
And so Saul responds, I have left the best of the livestock to sacrifice to the Lord.
很明显的是个借口。
And it's obviously an excuse.
骗不了人也骗不了上帝。
You can't fool a person with it, much less God.
所以撒母耳说，耶和华喜悦燔祭和平安祭，岂如喜悦人听从他的话呢？
And that's why Samuel then says, Does God as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?
这句话很多的我们弟兄姐妹都会记得，就是听命胜于献祭，顺从胜于公羊的自由。
And many of us will remember the phrase, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the blood of lambs.
我知道在国内有一些弟兄姐妹，
I know that some brothers and sisters in China,
他这个在做生意的时候有一些这个行贿的行为。
When they're doing business, they have some corrupt practices.
送礼啊，送红包，送回扣啊。
Giving bribes and red pockets and kickbacks.
那么这个当然上帝不喜悦这种事情。
Of course, God is not pleased by these kind of behaviors.
但是他们怎么说呢？
But how do they answer this?
他说我这样子做是因为能够赚钱，赚了钱以后我会大大的奉献教会。
They say, hey, I'm doing this so I can make money, and then I'll give a whole lot of it to the church.
你看到这些弟兄姐妹们，他的心态跟扫罗没有两样。
It's worth noting that the attitude of these brothers and sisters is the same as the attitude that Saul had.
回答这些弟兄姐妹的话，就是引用撒母耳记上的这段话。
And the way to respond to them is the same as what Samuel said here in 1 Samuel.
听命胜于献祭，顺从胜于公羊的自由。
To obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams.
你不管你赚了多少钱奉献给教会，这个钱是脏的。
It doesn't matter how much money you make and give to the church; it's dirty money.
上帝不要这种脏钱。
God doesn't want dirty money.
好，那么然后呢？最后呢？这个撒母耳就告诉扫罗说：“因为你厌弃耶和华的命令，耶和华也厌弃你做以色列的王。”
And then in the end, Samuel says to Saul, "Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has also rejected you from being king."
所以我们就看到扫罗执行神的命令不够彻底。
So here we see that Saul did not fully complete the command of the Lord.
我们从人的角度来看，他有没有灭掉这个亚玛力人呢？
From the human perspective, did he destroy the Amalekites?
哎，他已经把这个亚玛力人整个国家都灭了。
Yeah, I mean he destroyed the entire country.
好像是他已经执行了命令。
He seemed to have completed God's command.
但是上帝却不喜悦这样子的，表面上执行命令，背地下却没有彻底执行的这样的一种心态。
But God is not pleased with a heart that only satisfies His commands on the exterior and does not truly fully complete what He has.
所以他被神厌弃。
And so he was rejected by God.
这种事情我们在教会里面做执事长老的要相当的要警惕。
And those of us in the church who are deacons or elders need to be particularly aware of this.
你不要以为你在侍奉上帝。
Do not believe that as you are serving God.
上帝一定喜悦你的侍奉。
God will certainly be pleased with your service.
假如你的心态不对。
If your heart attitude is not right.
你不是守节心清的在侍奉上帝。
If you're not serving him with a pure hands and pure heart.
你这个侍奉不得上帝的喜悦。
Then your service will not be pleasing to God.
上帝也没有一定要你侍奉。
And God does not necessarily need you to serve him.
他可以厌弃你另外立一个执事，另外立一个长老。
He can reject you and establish a different deacon or elder.
就好像他厌弃了扫罗，另外高立大卫一样。
Just the same way as he rejected Saul and established David in his stead.
所以他要撒母耳另外立王。
So he wanted Samuel to anoint someone else as king.
所以这个是整个圣经当中第一次大卫出现的一个情节。
So this is the first vignette where David appears in the Bible.
那么上帝很清楚的，这个王呢是要从耶西的儿子当中选一个来立王的。
And Yahweh is very clear that this new king must come from the sons of Jesse.
你注意没有？
I don't know if you noticed.
上帝没有说你就去立那个耶西最小的儿子，叫做大卫的。
God didn't say go and anoint the youngest son of Jesse. His name is David.
上帝却告诉撒母耳，你把耶西的整个家叫过来。
Instead, he says, bring the entire house of Jesse over.
然后呢，一个一个的经过撒母耳的面前。
And then one by one, allow the sons of Jesse to come before Samuel.
到最后才选那最小的儿子。
And at the very end, finally choose the youngest.
为什么上帝这么折腾呢？
Why would God take so long?
我认为上帝是在给撒母耳一个机会学习。
I think God was giving Samuel an opportunity to learn.
也给耶西一个机会学习。
And also giving Jesse an opportunity to learn.
你知道耶西有八个儿子。
Jesse had eight sons.
为什么光带七个来赴宴呢？
How come he only had seven of them come to the sacrifice?
我相信在耶西的心里面，大卫不见得是他最喜欢的儿子。
Most likely in Jesse's heart, David was not his favorite child.
不晓得为什么。
We don't know why.
但不绝对不是这个大卫长得不漂亮。那么这里说的大卫长得非常 handsome.
It's not that David was ugly. It says right here that he was very handsome.
可能觉得他年纪太小。
Maybe just felt that he was too small.
不堪重任。
It's like he's not an important person yet.
但是他那个时候他也不知道是这个撒母耳要来高他的儿子当王的。
I mean, at this point, Jesse had no idea that Samuel was coming to anoint his children as king.
只不过是要来吃顿饭呢。
He was just coming to eat together.
这个大卫连吃顿饭的资格都没有。
Apparently, David didn't even have the status to eat dinner with him.
所以我觉得这件事情过了以后，我相信耶西也学了一个大功课。
So I'm sure after this, Jesse also learned a lesson.
上帝做事情往往是这样。
God always seems to work in this way.
上帝可以一下子非常简单明了的把一件事情做完。
God can easily just all at once do something very simply.
但是上帝却选择了用一种比较弯曲的方法让我们经历他的信实。
But God chooses to more slowly and indirectly allow us to understand his will.
好，我们下面看耶西是谁。
Now let's see who Jesse was.
那么多的以色列人为什么就偏偏要选一个人叫做耶西他的儿子？
There were so many Israelites. Why just pick one person named Jesse and his sons?
这件事情你如果熟读圣经的话，你就晓得这个耶西的来历不凡。
Now if you're familiar with the Bible, you probably are aware of Jesse's genealogy.
我几年以前曾经给我讲过一系列的道，就是从路德记讲的。
Some time ago, I taught an entire series on the book of Ruth.
可能还有一些弟兄姐妹们记得我讲的道。
Some of you might even still remember what I said.
不过大概很少。
But probably only a few of you.
那么路德记里面这个主角当然是路德。
And of course, Ruth is the main character of the book of Ruth.
但是路德是一个外邦人。
But Ruth is in fact a Gentile.
她嫁给了一个这个犹太人的丈夫。
But he's married to a rich Israelite.
因为那个时候她的丈夫跟她全家都在外邦，就是摩亚地方。
Now at the time, her husband and his family was in Moab, in the Gentile area.
后来很不幸的，她的丈夫死了。
And afterwards, her husband dies.
所以呢，她就这个按照当时的习俗的话，她是可以回到她的父家去，另外找一个丈夫。
So according to the custom of the time, she could have returned to her father's house and found another husband.
她呢却选择跟她的婆婆叫做纳俄米在一起。
But instead, she chooses to stay with her mother-in-law Naomi.
那么后来纳俄米就带着路德就回到了这个犹太的地方。
Then Naomi takes Ruth with her and goes back to Judah.
纳俄米是哪里人呢？
Now where is Naomi from?
就是伯利恒人。
Now Naomi was from Bethlehem.
那么回到那里去以后举目无亲。
And when she arrives there in Bethlehem, she has no family, no friends.
后来我们知道路德呢，为了要养活她的婆婆。
And so Ruth, to keep her mother-in-law alive,
到了秋收的时候，
when it comes to harvest time,
她就去捡那些秋收人留下来的麦穗。
She goes to glean and pick up the bits of leftover harvest.
所以靠这样子能够捡一点人家剩下的零碎来过日子。
So by picking up the leftovers of others, she's able to stay alive.
基本上面，路德是当一个乞丐。
In many ways, Ruth is acting as a beggar.
那么刚好啊，这个上帝所做的事情没有刚好啊，没有凑巧的，都是上帝的安排。
Now, luckily, well, nothing that God does is according to luck. It's all according to God's perfect plan.
这个路德跑去捡麦穗的那个地方，那个田的主人叫波阿斯。
Just so happens.Of course not by accident that Ruth goes to glean in the field of a man named Boaz.
Boaz 那个年纪已经不小了，大概是一个中年人。
Boaz is not a young guy; he probably was middle-aged by this point.
但是他却是一个非常宅心仁厚的这么一个人。
But he was a very kind person.
他到田里面去巡视的时候，就发现有一个女人在田里面捡麦子。
When he goes to look over the harvest, he sees that there's this woman there picking up the leftover bits.
然后他问他的仆人，这人是谁？
And so he asked his servants, who is this?
人家告诉他，就是纳欧米从外邦带回来这个外邦女子。
And so they tell him, oh, this is this Gentile girl who was brought back with Naomi.
而且大家都知道，这个路德非常孝顺纳欧米。
And everyone knows that Ruth is very obedient towards and very respectful of Naomi.
所以波阿斯就觉得这个女人了不起。
And so Boaz thinks, wow, this girl is really something.
所以就命令他的这些仆人们。
And so he tells his servants.
所以这个收麦子的时候啊，故意多留一点不收啊，就留在那个田里面。
As you're harvesting, just leave a little bit extra on the ground for Ruth.
就让路德可以多捡一点麦子。
That way Ruth can pick up some more.
到最后呢，波阿斯就干脆从已经收起来的麦子堆里面，然后拿一些送给路德。
And in the end, Boaz just goes ahead and takes some of the already harvested grain and directly gives it to Ruth.
你看到波阿斯是一个非常有慈心的仁爱之心的人。
And so you see here that Boaz is a very kind and loving person.
这件事情让这个纳俄米知道了。
And then Naomi finds out about this.
纳俄米也知道这个波阿斯还没有讨老婆啊。
And Naomi also knows that Boaz is still single.
那么这个长话短说哈，这个当中有一些爱情的故事。
And so to summarize, there's a bit of romance that goes on.
到最后，波阿斯就娶了路德。
And Boaz takes Ruth to be his wife.
然后呢，就生了一个儿子。
And they give birth to a son.
然后呢，这个儿子呢，是纳俄米养大的。
And the son is raised primarily by Naomi.
基本上面就是祖母来养这个孙子。
So apparently it's a grandmother raising the kid.
那么然后呢，这地方有一句话叫邻舍的妇人说，纳俄米得孩子了，就给孩子起名叫俄贝德，这俄贝德是耶西的父，耶西是大卫的父。
And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David.
你看到吗？从波阿斯跟路德这一对爱主的夫妻。
And so here you can see,From Ruth and Boaz, these God-fearing couple.
上帝使用他们来生了俄贝德，俄贝德生了耶西，耶西是大卫的父亲。
And so God allowed them to give birth to Obed, and then Obed gave birth to Jesse, and then David was the son of Jesse.
所以波阿斯从路德生俄贝德是纳俄米养大的。
So Boaz gave birth to Obed through Ruth.Who was then, and Obed was then raised by Naomi.
所以耶西不是别的人，是波阿斯的孙子。
So Jesse was actually the grandson of Boaz.
是义人之后。
He was the descendant of the righteous.
而且在多年以后，在以赛亚书里面。
Many years later in the book of Isaiah.
以赛亚大概是公元前700年左右的这么一个人物。
And so Isaiah was probably approximately 700 years before Christ.
大卫大概是公元前1000年左右的人物。
And David was about 1000 years before Christ.
以赛亚在他的书里面居然大胆的预告将来的弥赛亚，要来的这个弥赛亚一定是耶西的后代。
And so Isaiah very confidently, very boldly prophesies in the book that he writes that the Messiah will be a descendant of Jesse.
在以赛亚书第十一章十节这样说。
In Isaiah chapter 11 verse 10 it says as follows.
到那日耶西的根立作大万民的大旗，外邦人必寻求他，他安息之所大有荣耀。
In that day the root of Jesse who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious.
所以他预言弥赛亚必出自耶西的后代。
And so he's predicting that the Messiah will come from the descendants of Jesse.
我们在圣经的其他的地方知道。
In other parts of the Bible, we find out.
圣经里面还有很多的预言，弥赛亚是大卫的后代。
There are many, many, many prophecies that the Messiah would be the descendant of David.
因为大卫是耶西的儿子。
And because David is the son of Jesse.
所以弥赛亚也是耶西的后代。
So the Messiah is also the descendant of Jesse.
所以旧新约里面有两个家谱。
And so in the New Testament, there are two genealogies.
都是耶稣的家谱。
They're both Jesus' genealogies.
一个在马太福音，一个在路加福音。
One in Matthew and one in Luke.
都说耶稣是大卫的后裔。
Both of them say that Jesus is the descendant of David.
所以神在耶西当中儿子立王是在万古以前就已经预定了。
So it was established since the beginning of time that David would become king.
所以让撒母耳去执行这件事情。
So when God told Samuel to go do this,
在耶西的儿子当中找一个人来立王。
Pick a son out of the sons of Jesse to become king.
你看到上帝在万古以前已经预定在做这件事情。
You can see that God had already predestined in times past to do this.
为什么？
Why?
因为上帝自己要来到人间成为我们的弥赛亚。
Because God himself wanted to come amongst humankind and become our Messiah.
他要来到我们人间成为弥赛亚，不是随随便便就变成人的。
And he was not just randomly going to come and become a human being.
他必须是大卫的后裔。
He had to come as the descendant of David.
必须是耶西的后裔。
He had to be the descendant of Jesse.
这件事情早就已经预定了。
This was established long ago.
但是他却借着有一个仆人叫做撒母耳来执行这件事情。
But through a servant named Samuel, he accomplished this work.
所以因为神自己要道成肉身成为弥赛亚就是基督来拯救堕落的人类。
So because God wanted to be, was going to become the Messiah, the Christ, in order to save depraved man.
这里讲到伯利恒。
Here it mentions Bethlehem.
他说你将膏油盛满了脚，我差遣你往伯利恒人耶西那里去，因为我在他众子 之内要预定一个做王的。
It says fill a horn with oil and go to Bethlehem to the house of Jesse.For I have chosen one of his sons to be king.
那个时候的膏油是摆在一个角里面。
In those days, anointing oil would be kept in a hollowed out horn.
那不是摆在一个随便那个瓶子里面的。
It would not be put in a normal container.
这个角有它的非常的高的属灵的意义。
And there was a spiritual meaning too using these horns.
祭司所用的盛油的是用角来盛油。
Priests, when they carried oil, they would carry it in a horn.
你知道那个牛的角中间是空的吗？
You know the inside of an ox's horn is hollow.
所以那个角拿下来以后，中间可以盛油的。
So when you take a horn off of an ox, you can then fill it with oil.
我还知道这个角拿下来以后啊，还可以在上面这个修一下，然后当做一个像一个号角一样啊，可以吹的。
And if you take these horns and you work on them a little bit, you can also turn them into traditional shofars or traditional horns.
我几年前到耶路撒冷去的时候。
Several years ago when I went to Jerusalem.
我就看到那个礼品店里面有个卖角的。
I saw in one of the little stores they were selling horns.
我就想把它买回来。
I really wanted to buy one.
后来一想我又不是撒母耳。
And then I remembered, I'm not Samuel.
我就算了。
It's whatever. And then when he goes to Bethlehem,
Boaz and 路德、耶西和大卫都是伯利恒人。
Boaz and Ruth and Jesse and David were all from Bethlehem.
而且你发现没有，大卫之后的一千年，耶稣也降生在伯利恒的马槽里。
And then you find out that 1,000 years later, Jesus also comes to earth in a manger in Bethlehem.
耶稣的养父约瑟。跟他的母亲玛利亚是住在另外一个城的
Now,
叫做拿撒勒
Jesus' adopted father Joseph and his mother Mary lived in another city known as Nazareth
离伯利恒蛮远的
It was actually pretty far from Bethlehem
但是为什么会降生在伯利恒呢
How come he was born in Bethlehem?
原因是因为这个约瑟和这个玛利亚都是大卫的后裔。
Now the reason is that both Joseph and Mary were both the descendants of David.
罗马的皇帝要做户口普查。
The emperor of Rome wanted to have a census.
要他们这个国境之内所有的人要回到他的本乡本土去报名上册。
And made everyone in the entire empire go back to their hometown to register.
不管你现在住在什么地方，你都要回到你的老家去。
Didn't matter where you live, you had to go back to your hometown.
如果这件事情发生在今天的话，我就要回到湖南去了。
If this were to happen today, I'd have to go back to Hunan.
我不但要回到湖南，我还回到韶山了。我是韶山人。
In fact, I'd have to go back to 韶山。
我出身不凡。对。
I was born of humble origin.
Unhumble origin.
Unhumble. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. 这个啊，所以呢，玛利亚跟这个约瑟就不远千里啊，那个时候玛利亚已经重孕了。
And so, although Mary was already very, very pregnant, they had to travel some distance.
就跑到了伯利恒去。
Let's go to Bethlehem.
而且因为大卫的后裔大概很多哈，就大家都跑到小小的一个伯利恒去，伯利恒那个旅馆一下就满了。
And because David had many descendants, all of a sudden they all have to return to Bethlehem, and Bethlehem's hotels are all full.
酒店里面就没有地方了。
There's no place in the hotel.
这些人呢也没有爱心哦。
And these people do not have a heart.
我先来的，我已经付了钱了，这个房间就是我的。
I came first, I paid, this room is mine.
没有人愿意挤一挤腾一间房间给这个重孕的妇人啊。
No one was willing to squeeze for a little bit and free up a room for a very, very pregnant lady.
所以耶稣降生在马槽里。
And so Jesus was born in the manger.
你知道我们万军之耶和华来到人间的时候，
When the Lord of all creation came amongst us,
降生在人的自私自利里面。
He was born in a very humble location.
No. 降生在人的 selfishness.
Oh, okay.
自私自利。
Sorry, didn't know what that meant.
So, 伯利恒这个地方，我们大家都知道。是一个在我们基督徒的眼睛里面是一个很重要的名字。
And so today everyone knows Bethlehem is a very important word in Christian faith.
我们今天讲的这个撒母耳高啊，这个大卫的故事就发生在伯利恒。
Here the story of Samuel anointing David happens in the town of Bethlehem.
伯利恒是谷仓的意思。
Bethlehem means house of bread or storage.
所以那个地方呢，大概是比较富的地方。
So it's probably fairly well off.
好了，我们看看怎么样神命令撒母耳高立大卫。
So we'll see here how God goes about commanding Samuel to anoint David.
撒母耳说：“我怎能去呢？”
Samuel says, "How can I go?"
扫罗如果听见的话，必定要杀我了。
Saul hears about this, he'll definitely kill me.
你开玩笑，你要去高另外一个人当王？王是我。
You gotta be kidding me. You went off to anoint someone else as king. I'm king.
那一声令下就把撒母耳给杀了。
Definitely immediately kills Samuel.
所以王的权力是非常大的。
The authority of the king was very great.
但是耶和华却说怎么说呢？
And what does Jehovah tell, or Yahweh tell Samuel to do?
你看到这个上帝没有说啊，说是哎，我必定保护你。
You notice God doesn't say, oh, I'll definitely take care of you, keep you safe.
那个刀刷到半空中的时候就刷不下去。
When the knife is coming down on your neck, it suddenly won't be able to move any further.
上帝没有这样做。
God doesn't say this.
上帝要他怎么做？
What does God want him to do?
要他牵一只牛犊去。
To bring a heifer with him.
说我要来向耶和华献祭。
Say, hey, I'm here to sacrifice to God.
圣经上面说，这个因为伯利恒那个地方有非常的这个，就是他比较富。
The Bible says that as Bethlehem was fairly well off.
那伯利恒离耶路撒冷也不远。
And Bethlehem was not that far from Jerusalem.
所以圣殿里面献祭的那个牛或者羊常常都是在伯利恒养的。
And so the oxen or the sheep that were sacrificed in the temple were often raised in Bethlehem.
所以这个谁这个撒母耳要牵一只牛犊到伯利恒那里去献祭这件事情是非常天经地义的。
So, Samuel to bring an ox with him to Bethlehem would be very strange.
撒母耳从拉玛走到伯利恒还要带一只牛犊啊。
So Samuel's walking from Ramah to Bethlehem and he needs to take a heifer with him.
我不知道拉玛离这个伯利恒有多远，我相信不近。
Now, how far was Ramah from Bethlehem?
Ramah 是撒母耳住的地方。
Ramah was where Samuel lived.
因为撒母耳是那个时候的士师，所以等于是整个犹太人这个行政中心。
And so, since Samuel was then the judge of Israel, Ramah was essentially the legal headquarters of Israel.
但是他不远千里从拉玛要到伯利恒去，不但要去，还要带只小牛犊去。
But not only does he want to go to this Bethlehem, he also wants to bring a small cow with him.
我相信有一只小牛犊，他就走得不会很快哈。
I'm pretty sure he wasn't walking too quickly with the cow.
所以很折腾的。
So it would be pretty difficult.
那么神的命令彻底执行，跟扫罗不一样。
Now notice how he thoroughly he performs what God told him to do, unlike Saul.
到了伯利恒以后，城里面的长老都战战兢兢的出来迎接他，问他你是为了平安来的吗？
And then when he arrives, the elders of the city come to meet him trembling and say, "Do you come peaceably?"
为什么战战兢兢呢？
Why would they be scared? Why would they be trembling?
你不要忘记哦，撒母耳是那个时候的士师啊。
Let's not forget that he was the judge of all Israel at that time.
他基本上是整个以色列的行政的王。
He was essentially the legal king of all of Israel.
虽然当时有一个扫罗是王，
even though Saul was the king,
但是呢，撒母耳却是代表上帝在那里执行命令。
Samuel represented God in enacting the law of God.
基本上面呢，就跟我们今天中国的制度一样，中国的制度除了有一个省长以外，还有一个省委书记啊。
Similar to China's legal structure.
You don't know what that is? You have a governor.
Oh,
you have
okay.
a governor. But you, then you have 省委书记怎么翻译啊？ Secretary. Oh, party secretary.
Oh, party secretary. Okay, yes.
这个中国人都晓得哈，不需要翻译。所以撒母耳他的威望跟权力还是很大的。
So Samuel's position and his authority was very great.
这些伯利恒的这些长老们莫名其妙的，这么重要的一个人物忽然跑到他这个小城里面来。
So the elders of Bethlehem are like, "Whoa, why did this really important person come to our little town?"
省委书记来了，难道不战战兢兢吗？
If the secretary of the party came, wouldn't you be a little nervous?
所以他就问，他说你来呢，是带来平安呢？还是没有带来平安。
So he comes and so they come and ask, "Do you come peaceably or do you come not peaceably?"
他说我为平安而来。
He says, "I come peaceably."
我相信在这讲到这里一句话，这些长老们就松了一口气哈。
I'm sure at that point the elders were like, "Phew."
对。不然的话，真觉得好像有大事要到他身上了哈。
Otherwise, it'd be fearful that some major problem was.
然后他就说：“我是给耶和华献祭，你们当自洁，来与我同吃祭肉。”
Then he says, "I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to eat the sacrifice."
而且撒母耳就是耶西和他的众子自洁，请他们来吃祭肉。
And then Samuel also made Jesse and his sons consecrate themselves and come eat the sacrifice.
献祭完的祭肉是祭司可以吃的。
Now the sacrificial meat was what the priests could eat.
这个是旧约里面明令的规矩。
And that's clearly commanded in the Old Testament.
但祭司邀请的人如果经过洁净以后，他也可以来吃的。
But if the priest invited someone, as long as they were clean, they could also eat of the sacrifice.
所以这个撒母耳就了无痕迹的用请这个耶西他们一家人来吃鸡肉的方法。就把耶西跟他的众子都请来了。
And so Samuel uses this technique of inviting Jesse and his sons to come eat of the sacrifice to bring them all together before him.
所以是一个很平安的一个非常的这个一个非常好的一个过程。
So it's a very peaceful, very happy process.
好，我们现在看耶和华怎么样子看人。
And so here we'll see how Yahweh sees people.
然后撒母耳呢就看到第一个耶西的大儿子叫做以利亚。
Now Samuel sees Jesse's first son, Eliab.
就对这个撒母耳就心里面说，他说耶和华的受膏者就是这个以利亚啊，他认为以利亚大概是耶和华的受膏者，因为他人长得高高大胆，很英俊啊。
And so when Samuel sees him, he thinks, "Oh, this must be the Lord's anointing, because he's big and tall and handsome."
我相信这个耶西的这个遗传的这个基因相当不错啊。
I bet Jesse's genetics were excellent.
至少大儿子跟小儿子两个都非常好。
At least the eldest and the youngest were both pretty good looking.
中间怎么样不知道。
In the middle, I don't know.
我相信也不错的。
Probably pretty good looking.
对。然后他心里说了，他说耶和华的受膏者就是这个以利亚，必定在他面前。这个他是耶和华的意思。
And so he says, surely the Lord's anointed is before me.
意思说，哎，就是他了，就是已经在耶和华的面前了。
Ah, it must be him. He's already before the Lord.
因为以利亚的外貌和他身材高大。
Because Eliab was good-looking and tall.
你知道扫罗也身材高大，你知道吗
？Do you know Saul was also really tall?
圣经上面特别提到扫罗，他的个头比别人都高一个头。
The Bible specifically records that Saul was head and shoulders above the rest of the population.
所以身材高大不见得是上帝所拣选的人。
And so God does not select people based on their height.
因为耶和华不像人看人，人是看外貌，耶和华是看内心的。
Because people look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart.
所以耶西从他的大儿子，然后就第二个儿子，然后第三个儿子，这三个儿子有名字的哈，在圣经上面都提到他们的名字。
And so Jesse then has his second son and his third son, and the Bible mentions all of their names.
有原因的。
And there's a reason for this.
因为你只要看撒母耳记往下看的时候，就发现这个耶西的三个大儿子，至少前面两个儿子去帮这个扫罗去打仗的。
And it turns out there's a reason for this, because later on we find out that at least two or three of Jesse's sons go to help Saul fight.
而且让大卫作为一个小孩子啊，就带了一些家乡的什么妈妈做的饼啊，到战场上面去，去给他哥两个哥哥们吃的。
And so then Jesse had David as his youngest son bring some food, maybe what his mom had made.To his eldest brothers on the battlefield.
你看到这个故事的前后有连接的。
You can see here that these that the accounts here have consistency.
我常常说，我说圣经的文学的这个水平非常的高。
I've often said that the literary level of the scriptures is very, very high.
它这个写的简单明了，但是前后呼应的，前后呼应的。
Although many of the accounts are very simple, but they are all consistent from beginning to end.
然后耶西的一个个儿子都从撒母耳面前经过，都没有被拣选。
And so one by one, all of Jesse's sons, or all but one of Jesse's sons, come before.
而且你看，这整个过程当中啊，耶和华是直接跟撒母耳讲话的。
And in this whole process, God is directly speaking to Samuel.
圣经里面没有很多的人物能够直接听到耶和华讲话的。
In Scripture, not many people directly hear from God.
摩西是一个，摩西大概是第一个。
Moses, he seems to have been the first.
但撒母耳是可以听见神的话的。
And Samuel could directly hear from God.
他很小很小的时候在圣殿里面的时候，他就听到耶和华叫他。
When he was still very young in the temple, he heard God call him.
我今天我不认识任何的新当代的基督徒能够听见神对他说话的。
I don't know of any Christians today who directly hear from God.
也不晓得说的是广东话呢还是普通话。
And I don't know if he would speak in Cantonese or Mandarin.
但是撒母耳能够听见神直接对他说话。
But Samuel was able to directly hear the word of God.
然后撒母耳呢就学到功课了，晓得啊要仔细听耶和华的话，才能够决定这个人是不是要被膏的。
And so Samuel learns that he needs to listen closely to the word of God before deciding who ought to be anointed.
所以等到七个儿子都经过了以后
，So after all seven sons have already passed before him,
他没有听到耶和华说这个当中有哪一个人是他要膏的。
He hasn't heard God say, "Oh, this one is the one you should anoint."
所以撒母耳就说，这都不是耶和华所选拣选的。
So Samuel says, "None of these are the one that God has chosen."
因为撒母耳学到命令了，学到功课了。
Because Samuel has learned his lesson.
静静的听耶和华的命令。
To quiet himself and listen to God's command.
所以我深深的相信，为什么耶和华这么折腾，而不直接告诉他，有原因的。
So I truly believe that why God was so slow and indirect was.For a reason.
耶和华要让撒母耳这样子属灵的人也要学个功课。
God wanted Samuel, even such a spiritual person as Samuel, to learn something.
所以当我们碰到一些事情，说主啊，你怎么还不把这个事情成就啊
？So when we run into a problem and we're like, "Hey God, why haven't you taken care of this for us yet?"
神一定有他的美意。
God definitely has his own purposes.
撒母耳在这里是非常耐心的一个个过去。
Samuel he very patiently waited one by one as the sons passed before him.
眼看七个这个少年英俊的这个儿子都过去了。
And one by one he watches all seven of them pass before him.
上帝还没有告诉他是什么人。
And God hasn't yet told him who it is.
都完了就没有了，怎么搞的？是不是今天就黄掉了？
All right, they've all come. Is today just a waste?
所以撒母耳他是非常这个忠心神的命令的哈。
But Samuel was very concerned with the commands of God.
撒母耳就对耶西说的，你的儿子都在这里吗？
And so Samuel says to Jesse, of all your sons here.
你看到撒母耳真的是执行命令执行非常彻底啊。
And so Samuel, when he's accomplishing the commands of God, he does it very thoroughly and diligently.
既然这七个都不是，
Since all seven of these are not the one,
是不是还有儿子没有来啊？
Maybe there's another son that hasn't come.
所以他就问了，你的儿子都在这里吗？
So he asks, are all your sons here?
耶西就回答说，还有一个小的，现在在放羊。
And Jesse says, there remains the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep.
这个小儿子连来吃鸡肉的资格都没有。
This son, even coming to eat of the sacrificial meal, does not have that kind of status.
而且还在家里放羊，显然没有自节哈。
And he's still watching the sheep.
Not cleansing himself. 啊，所以呢，所以应该是没有资格来吃鸡肉的，因为他没自节啊。
And so since he was not yet ceremonially clean, he would not really have had the status to come and eat of the sacrifice.
但不怪他，因为他的爸爸没有叫他自节啊。
But this is not really his fault because his father had not told him to cleanse himself.
但撒母耳就对耶西说，你打发人去叫他来，他若不来，我就不坐席。
And so Samuel says to Jesse, send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here.
坐席的意思是坐下来要吃饭了，就是要吃这些祭肉了。
And sitting down here refers to sitting down to eat the sacrificial meal.
撒母耳是作为祭司的，他当然知道大卫从羊群中来没有自节，不可能 不能让他吃祭肉的。
Now Samuel was a priest, he would have known that David coming directly from the sheepfold would not have time to clean himself and therefore would not be considered worthy of eating the meal.
但是撒母耳也知道他这次来的目的不是来吃鸡肉的。
But Samuel also knows that his reason for coming this time was not to eat a sacrificial meal.
他是要告耶和华的拣选的王的。
He came here to anoint God's chosen king.
上帝没有说一定要自洁以后才能够被高立做王啊。
God didn't say you have to be ceremonially clean before you can be anointed as king.
因为这个之前只高立过一个王就是扫罗。
Because he had only once before anointed a king, which was Saul.
大卫是第二个。
David was the second.
所以没有一些圣经上面所讲的这个被高立的时候要有些什么仪式没有说。
So the Bible didn't have any commandments about what ceremonial rules there were for anointing a king.
所以他就坚持不漏掉任何一个儿子。
So he insists on not letting any son slip through the cracks.
所以当耶西告诉他说，我那个儿子现在在家里面放羊。
So when Jesse says that, oh, my son is watching the flocks.
还是叫他来了。
He still says to bring him over.
因为搞不好这个最后这个儿子就是上帝拣选的。
He says, what if this youngest one is the one that God has selected?
因为是神的命令要彻底执行。
Because God's commands must be thoroughly followed.
好了，这个大卫来了。
And so then David comes.
他面色光红，双目清秀，容貌俊美。
And he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome.
然后撒母耳就忽然听见神的声音了。
And then Samuel hears the word of God.
耶和华说，这就是他，你起来膏他。
And the Lord says, arise, anoint him, for this is he.
我相信撒母耳如释重负。
I'm sure Samuel...
it's okay. Samuel 总算是 relaxed.
Oh, I'm sure Samuel was very relieved.
And 他就说就看到了，虽然这个衣服很肮脏的一个人啊，刚刚从羊群里面出来的，对，但是终于找到上帝要告的这个人。
And so he sees that even though this person, his clothes are very dirty, having just come from the fields, this is the one that God wants to anoint.
所以撒母耳就用脚里的膏油在他猪胸中膏了他。
And so Samuel uses this horn of oil and anoints him amongst his brothers.
这里为什么要讲到在猪胸中膏了他呢？
Why does it mention that he anoints him among his brothers?
因为我相信这些他的哥哥们啊，都是一个个从他面前走过的时候啊，都是心里面觉得，哎，是不是我啊？
Because I'm sure all of his brothers, all his older brothers, as they went before Samuel one by one, they were like, ooh, might it be me?
虽然不知道到底是要 是做什么事，不可能，可能他们不知道是要被高立做以色列的王。
Even though they probably didn't know that they were about to, one of them was about to be anointed as king.
但是肯定是个好事。
I mean, it's definitely something good.
结果呢， 没有选中这七个哥哥。
And so then none of the seven were chosen.
然后呢，在他七个哥哥的见证之下，这个小弟弟被膏了。
And then their youngest brother is anointed with them all as witnesses.
所以大卫异常肮脏，却呢有一脚油倒在他头上，是高丽君王的仪式。
And so despite how dirty David's exterior is, he has a horn of oil poured on him, anointing him as king.
杜克团契上个礼拜五查经的时候这个学习了整个耶稣基督被钉十字架的过程。
So last Friday, DCCF studied the crucifixion of Christ, the entire account.
我非常的感动。
And I was very moved.
但是在耶稣基督被这个审判的过程当中他把一个这个罗马兵把一个荆棘的冠冕摆在他的头上。
But during the process of Jesus judgment and prosecution, the Roman soldiers put a crown made of thorns on his head.
还拿了一个像权杖一样的一根这个草，让他拿了手上。
And they gave him a reed that looked a little like a scepter for him to hold.
然后呢，还给他穿一个紫色的衣服。
And made him wear a purple robe.
然后在地上拜他。
And then would kneel down and worship.
我相信耶稣就是被羞辱的，因为荆棘的冠冕让他满脸都是血。
And I'm sure Jesus was very it was very shameful because Jesus' entire face would have been covered with blood from the thorn.
对这些羞辱他的罗马的兵来说的话
，to those who were mocking him, to the Roman soldiers who were mocking him,
是罗马人想象的这个君王应该穿的衣服。
This was what Romans would imagine a king should wear.
但是这些罗马人是外行人啊。
But the Romans were Gentiles.
Not only 他不是外邦人，是外行。
外行哦，
等于外行。Ignorant. They didn't know the rule.
Yeah, they didn't understand.
因为犹太人高利王的时候是一瓶油从头上浇下去的。
Because the Jews, when they went to anoint a king, they would pour oil over the head.
这个圣经上面没有说扫罗也好，大卫也好，还戴个什么王冠的。
The Bible doesn't record Saul or David wearing a crown most of the time.
但不管怎么样，耶稣基督是一个王，他在用王的身份被钉在十字架。
But regardless, Jesus was a king, and he was crucified as a king.
好，回到大卫，这里说他面色光红，双目清秀，容貌俊美。
Here it says that David was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome.
很明显的是个小帅哥。
Very clearly, he was a handsome dude.
更重要的呢是大卫的内心顺服神。
But what's more important is that he had a heart which was followed after God.
不是因为他长得帅，所以才会被高立。
He wasn't anointed because he was good looking.
因为他内心顺服神。
It was because he had a heart that was submissive to God.
这个是米盖兰基罗雕的一个像，就是这个大卫。
So this is Michelangelo's statue of David.
米盖兰基罗是16世纪的人。
So Michelangelo was in the 16th century.
这是一个不朽的杰作。
This is a timeless piece.
现在还在意大利某个地方。
And it's still somewhere in Italy.
这个整个的雕像是全身的。
And the statues of the entire body.
但是因为是裸体的关系。
But because he's naked.
所以我就光秀一个头。
So I'll just show you the head.
那么你看到这个像，哎，果然是容貌俊美啊。
As soon as you look at it, you're like, wow, that's a good-looking guy.
但我也不晓得为什么米盖兰基罗要雕一个裸体的像。
I don't know why Michelangelo needed to make him naked.
好，大卫的灵，耶和华灵大大的感动大卫。
And the spirit of the Lord came greatly upon David.
大卫被膏的时候呢，大概是没有说他到底几岁啊，所以解经家推测是10岁到15岁中间的一个少年人。
Now, when David was anointed, it doesn't specifically say how old he was, but most commentators suggest that he was probably between 10 and 15 years old.
就是让我们用今天的话的话，他是一个 teenager.
So in today's terms, we would call him a teenager.
就是半大不小的一个人。
He was not yet an adult, but not really a kid either.
但是你如果看整个的这个圣经的话，你就发现啊，这个大卫啊，一直到30岁的时候才真正变成以色列的王。
But if you look throughout the entire account of the Bible, David doesn't actually become king until he's 30 years old.
他被膏的时候如果是十岁的话，也就是20年以后他才变成王。
If he was anointed at 10 years old or so, it was 20 years later before he became king.
如果他那时候是15岁的话，也就是再要过15年他才变成王。
If he was 15 when he was anointed, then it was 15 more years before he became king.
为什么上帝这么折腾呢？
Why would God be so slow?
要么就是他已经要变成王的时候再找个人去把他高立就完了吗？
Why not just wait until he was ready to make him actually king and have someone go over and anoint him?
高了以后就成王了吗？
And as soon as he's anointed, he becomes king.
或者是这个让这个扫罗很快就下台，那么他这个大卫虽然年纪小，但是一高也就成了王了吗？
Or just let Saul quickly cease being king and let David, even though he's young, immediately.
没有，我们又看到上帝做事看起来非常的折腾。
So again, we see that God acts in ways that seem very slow to us.
让大卫要经过一个漫长的时间去等候，他要最后终于成王。
And he allowed David to have to wait for a fairly slow process.Before he eventually became king.
你如果看这个撒母耳记上的时候，
So when you look at 1 Samuel,
这个15到20年之间，这个日子不好过啊。
Those 15 to 20 years before he became king in Hebron were very difficult.
你知道，扫罗难道不会听到，哦，原来在那个伯利恒地方有一个小少年，他居然被高了。
As you can probably imagine, Saul wouldn't hear, oh, there's this kid in Bethlehem who was anointed as king.
难道扫罗会不做任何的事吗？
Could you expect Saul to not do anything?
所以这一段时间15到20年的这个时间，这个大卫的日子不好过。
So those 15 to 20 years were pretty tough for David.
你想想看，假如我是扫罗的话，
Imagine if I was Saul.
我知道这旁边这有一个小孩子，
I know over here there's this kid.
将来要取代我。
Who's going to replace me as king?
我还会给他好日子过吗？
Would I let him live an easy life?
最好早点死掉最好。
Best to let him die earlier.
所以大卫的日子不好过。
So David really did have a tough time.
我们以后就会讲到大卫的故事。
Afterwards we'll be going through the story of David.
希望一次比一次精彩。
And it is increasingly engaging.
今天是第一讲。
And today is the first,
你又就看到神的灵怎么样子大大的感动大卫。
And we'll get to see in future weeks how God greatly moved David through His Spirit.
一个人被上帝的灵感动的时候，
When someone is moved by the Spirit,
没有说这个人啊就会倒在地上口吐白沫啊什么等等。
Doesn't mean he'll fall on the ground and foam at the mouth.
没有，这是灵恩派的弟兄们姐妹们这样做的事。
This is what charismatic brothers and sisters do.
但是圣经上面能看到，当大卫被神的灵感动的时候，
But here in the Bible we see that when David was moved by the Spirit of God,
他特别聪明，
He became very wise,
特别有智慧，
He became very smart, very wise,
特别有爱心，
He became very loving.
我们可以从一个被神的灵感动的人身上学很多功课。
We can learn a lot from someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit.
我觉得上帝故意要让大卫要经历这么多的困难，
I believe that God purposely wanted David to go through all of these difficulties，
而且让大卫在困难当中依靠神，
So that in the midst of these difficulties he would rely
on， 依靠那个感动他的灵，
And he would rely on the spirit that had moved him，
乃是为了要他们后世所有的基督徒能够学一个功课，
That all Christians coming after him may be able to learn something。
所以我们就今天的信息，第一，对神的命令要绝对顺服，不打折扣。
So here we learn, first of all, that we must fully and diligently obey God's commands.
我们要像撒母耳，不像扫罗。
Let us be like Samuel and not like Saul.
我们大家知道，我们教会里面有感动，要到这个西 Carry 去支堂。
We all know that here in the church we have a desire to go establish a church in West Carry.
我知道我们弟兄姐妹们当中也是，哦，那是彩虹小组要做的事儿。
And I know that there are many brothers and sisters who feel like, oh, that is the Rainbow Group's job.
我不是彩虹小组的，跟我没有关系。
I'm not part of the Rainbow Fellowship, so it doesn't matter to me.
各位弟兄姐妹们，上帝给我们的命令是整个的 CCMC 去支堂。
Brothers and sisters, God's command to us is as an entire church to go plant another church.
不是说彩虹小组去支堂。
It's not saying, oh, the Rainbow Fellowship has this command to go plant a church.
我们假如说是说，哎呦，只有彩虹小组去支堂，那你做的事情就跟扫罗一样了。
If you feel that only the Rainbow Fellowship has a commandment to go establish a church, then you're acting like Saul.
没有彻底的执行神的命令。
We are not thoroughly accomplishing God's command.
只有当你清清楚楚知道上帝的命令是要我们整个教会去执行。
If we know that God's command to the entire church is to go plant a church.
你住在 Chapel Hill, 也有你的责任。
Even if you live in Chapel Hill, you also have a responsibility.
这件事情非常重要。
This is a very important problem.
假如我们光让彩虹小组去在那边执行。
If we just let the Rainbow Fellowship go and establish a church.
我们只在这边呢看看好戏。
And here we watch and see how it goes.
我相信上帝对我们的惩罚，希望不要像对惩罚扫罗一样哈。
And I can only hope that God's punishment of us would not be like His punishment of Saul.
你知道扫罗的下场非常的凄惨啊。
You know what, Saul's life ended up very disastrous.
他虽然曾经有一阵时间是上帝所高立的王。
Even though at one point he was God's anointed king.
但是因为他不彻底执行神的命令。
But because he did not thoroughly accomplish God's will,
他没有彻底的顺服上帝。
He did not completely submit himself to God.
他的下场是非常凄惨的。
He had a truly disastrous end.
我希望 CCMC 的下场不要凄惨哦。
I hope CCMC does not have a disastrous end.
而且人是看外貌，耶和华是看内心。
People look on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart.
所以大卫，神选择大卫是因为他内心顺服神。
God chose David because his heart was submitted to him.
这我们以后会看到很多很多的这个榜样。
Afterwards, we will see many examples.
就知道哦，原来神所高立、所拣选的人，是不是一个平常的人
？And we will realize that the man God selected was not an ordinary person.
所以神的灵会大大感动被他拣选的人。
And God will greatly move those whom He selects.
所以我们不要害怕，我们既然有神的命令，要我们到西凯瑞去执堂。
So we ought not fear if we have God's commandment to go establish a church in West Cary.
我们万众一心。
We can all come together with one heart.
去执这个堂。
And establish this new church.
神的灵会与我们同在。
And God's Spirit will be with us.
我们一起低头祷告。
Let us pray together.
父神，我们谢谢你。
Our Father, we thank you.
把今天的经文给我们做一个提醒。
That you gave us this scripture as a reminder.
让我们每一个人都应该学习做一个彻底顺服的人。
That we may each be one who fully submits to you.
也让我们能够看内心，不看外表。
That we may each look on the heart and not on the outward appearance.
也让我们能够从这个以后的大卫的所作所为，能够学到怎么样彻底顺服你。
And may we learn from the rest of David's life and what he does how to truly submit to you.
谢谢你与我们同在。
Thank you for being with us.
感谢祷告，奉主耶稣基督的圣名。
In Jesus' name, amen.